Praise God. All right, go ahead and open up your notebook and turn to session two. The title of this session is Becoming the Fool, or Becoming a Fool, the Path to Wisdom. We've been talking about how we walk, making most of the time. And what I want to do for us this evening is I want to talk about how do we truly attain wisdom? And if we want our walk to honor God, how do we do that? Where do we look? Where do we go? How do we direct our hearts to attain wisdom, that we would walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that we would live our lives, what time the Lord has given us, to the fullness of His glory. Now, something I want to point out to you in your outline, each of the sessions, the four sessions, if you turn to the right, you'll see discussion questions, right? And those are what you cover in your small group time. If you turn one more page to the right, on the left side, there are discussion questions for parents. Those are questions that Jacob and I have put together for when you go home. How do you take the things that you've learned and continue to be a learner with those that God has put in your life who can help you in this? And so our encouragement to you is when you go home and your parents ask, how was camp, that you find time with one or both or whomever the Lord has put in your life in a position of authority that you live with, who cares for you, and talk through the first outline with them, what you learned, and then go to these discussion questions and ask that individual, your parents or grandparents or whomever's home that you live in, ask them these questions. And so for the one that we're doing now, the first one is, what is your assessment of how I am doing at pursuing God's wisdom in my life over worldly wisdom? And then let them speak into your life and dialogue about these things and interact with you about the things that you're learning. So just want to point that out, that is part of the resource that we are giving to you so that you can continue to be a learner, continue to seek wisdom in your life. So session two, Becoming a Fool, the Path to Wisdom. Go ahead and open up your Bible and turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This evening, we are not going to do what most of you, if not all of you, are accustomed to, where we just kind of land on one verse and work through that verse. We're actually going to jump around, kind of like a devotion for us this evening. We're going to look at a few different texts that will help us understand the path to wisdom and how to get to the path of wisdom. Now, listen, I asked ChatGPT. You guys familiar with it? Anybody ever heard of ChatGPT? No? Not sure? Okay. Get with the times. No. I asked ChatGPT without any pre-configured, assessments or assumptions or anything like that. I just said, how do I become wise? Okay. This is what it gave me. Learn constantly, but thoughtfully. It also said, reflect regularly. Set time aside to think and journal and ask yourself, what did I learn today? What did I misunderstand? What would I do differently next time? Reflection turns experience into insight. Also said, listen more than you speak. That's actually pretty insightful. Proverbs 17:28 tells us that even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. It also put out, seek discomfort and diverse perspectives. Said, live with integrity. Accept uncertainty. Practice patience. It's a lot of maybe helpful guides to some practical things that we could benefit from. I don't know that any of those things, if we did them, we would go, oh, I regret that. That was a horrible idea. But none of those things are actually the path to wisdom. I want you to listen to what God would say is the way that someone becomes wise. And you can write this down in your notes. Write down Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. And then listen to what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the foundation of wisdom, or the entrance into wisdom. If you truly want wisdom in your life, the only way it will come, true wisdom, the only way that will actually come is when it starts out of fearing God. Fearing God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hopefully you turn there. And look at verse 14. Paul says this, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually judged or assessed." What we find is that what the world, what you and I naturally would call foolishness, is actually the path to wisdom. The world does not understand the things of God. The natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are actually foolishness to him. The things that God says are right and good, that you should value, that you should pursue, how you should think about your life, how you should think about eternity. The world would look at all of those things and say, foolishness. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want those things. The cost is too high. What I would have to give up is too much. It's interfering with what's most important to me in life. Those are foolish things, is what the world would say. And God says that that's actually the spiritual things. Fearing God, that's where true wisdom is found. You see, what God's assessment and what God has declared is truly good and wise, and what the world says is good and wise, are directly opposed to one another as opposites. If you cling to the world's wisdom, you will be in opposition to God's wisdom, and you will be a fool before the Lord. And if you cling to God's wisdom, if you fear God, you cling to his wisdom, the world's assessment, you are foolish. And that's why the path to true wisdom is by becoming the fool, but only to the world. What Jacob said last night was absolutely right. We want to avoid true foolishness, right? Which is what God says is foolish. We want to embrace God's wisdom. ChatGPT can't give you true wisdom. Why? Because ChatGPT does not fear God. You see, doing simply the right outward action does not alone mean you are being wise. You can do a lot of morally good things. You can study hard at school. You can obey your parents. You can be peaceable with your friends. You can be a star athlete. You can compete. You can get great grades. You can have college scholarships. You can have a wonderful career. You can make millions of dollars and still be a fool. And one who has invested the little time that they have in their life solely to those things and rejected God, that one is a fool, because they have squandered the time that the Lord has given them, where they could have used that time investing themselves into things that bear weight, that impact, that last into eternity. The path to true wisdom comes through a message and a life that the world would look at and label foolish. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, if you turn just to the left a little bit, you may not even need to turn the page, Paul says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What does that mean? That means that the world's wisdom would never lead to a message of salvation that comes through a crucified Messiah, through God in the flesh coming to earth, taking on flesh, becoming a man, living the perfect life that not one of us live, going to the cross, bearing the weight of sin for all who would believe, so that every single person who truly repents of their sin and turns to Christ in faith and repentance can be saved of their sin, reconciled to God, be given His righteousness, be freed from the penalty of their sin, be no longer under condemnation, have fellowship with God, and have eternity with God. That message, that reality to the world is foolishness. And if they think that message is foolishness, they will also think that the new life that that message brings to the believer is foolishness as well. Now, there are a lot of students here. I know many of you, and yet there are many that I don't know still. And I don't know even what you would say about where your relationship is with God this evening. I suspect that some of you would say, I've heard these things before. I actually might even believe that they're true. And yet, as we are talking about walking wise lives, walking and making the most of our times, it just sounds like you want to force me or get me to give up the things of this world that I love, and I'm just not ready to do that. And if that's you, you need to consider, what do you really love? And have you trained your heart to love? Have you directed your heart to love what is truly good? Because everything that the Lord calls us to in walking in a wise way sounds foolish to the world, but is actually the best thing for you. Who's been to Disneyland? Okay, many of us. Many of us. If your parents said, listen, don't go hang out with our friends. We know they're sick. Make sure you go to bed on time. Get good rest. Because we're going to go to Disneyland. And I want you to experience Disneyland in the best condition as possible. And you say, okay. And then you go over to your friend's house who's been sick. You stay up late. You eat a bunch of junk food. And you get sick. And you go to Disneyland. And you get on a ride. And it's supposed to be thrilling and fun and enjoyable. And you throw up afterwards. And you can't even walk to the next ride because you have a fever and you're sick. And you stumble your way through the park. All the ways that you should enjoy Disneyland, you have done the wrong way, and it is actually miserable, even though your impulses and your desires said, hey, there's instruction for me. I don't believe that's the right way. I want what I want now, and I want it the way that I want it. When we sin, we are stepping out of the direction that the Lord has given us. We're saying, I want what I want, and I want it the way that I want it. And it always leads towards a destructive path. You might feel good in a moment, right? You might feel somewhat satisfied, but sin is always destructive and it always deserves punishment from the holy, righteous God. Your life is never better because you sin. And if you ever think, I sinned and I finally got what I wanted, you are a fool. Because you are sinning to get immediate things that actually impact your eternity negatively. When you could have experienced the best things now, the best ways, in a way that produces the best for eternity. So how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we walk wisely? How do we avoid foolishness? from God's perspective? How do we embrace foolishness from the world's perspective? Listen, the world says you are good. God says there are none righteous. The world says trust your heart. God says your heart is deceitful and wicked. The path to wisdom begins with embracing this foolish message, the message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It starts with fearing God more than you fear anything else. More than you feel rejection from those around you. More than you fear not being satisfied. More than you fear not being comfortable in life. Fearing God. That's where it must start. That's the entrance into the path of wisdom. And once you are there, there are three disciplines that will lead you down this path. They will lead you further down the true path of wisdom, but it starts with becoming a fool according to the world. To reject yourself. The world says embrace yourself, love yourself, exalt yourself. We actually are called to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Christ. So you reject yourself, you reject your own wisdom, and you fear God. Now, here's what I love about God's wisdom. If you are a believer, these disciplines will enhance, they will be fruitful in your life, they will create spiritual growth, they will fortify you, they will guard you, they will protect you, they will benefit you immensely. If you are in Christ, these are disciplines you should spend your whole life cultivating, growing in, and pursuing. And if you are not a Christian, the best thing you can do is to direct your heart to these disciplines, because oftentimes these disciplines are what God uses to produce the change that you need to actually repent and turn to Christ in faith. And so whether or not you believe in Jesus and he is the Lord and Savior of your life and you are a believer in him, or whether or not you haven't listened to a thing that's been said all weekend until the last few minutes and you're going, wait, what? This is actually for me. Or anywhere in between, these disciplines should be on every one of our hearts and minds. We should pursue these things. We should direct our hearts to these things. And if you're in Christ, you direct your heart saying, Lord, thank you for your saving grace. Help my life honor you as it should. And if you're not a believer, you say, Lord, help use these things to transform my hard heart and draw me to yourself. All right, what are these disciplines? First, number one, any guesses? Any guesses on number one, what the blank is? Prize! Yes, did you get them? Did you steal them? It's up there, you can read. Oh man, a little jump the gun, just a little. We didn't coordinate. Prize wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 4, okay? If you're not familiar with where Proverbs is, go to the middle of your Bible. You'll most likely hit Psalms, and it's right after that. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You guys should know this. You did it backwards, right? So Proverbs 4. And we're going to look at three different texts, one for each of these points. And we're just going to make some quick observations. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 5. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. He's referring to wisdom as a her. Don't forsake wisdom, and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all you're acquiring, get understanding. And look at what it says in verse 8. Prize her, prize wisdom, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Prize wisdom. What does it mean to prize something? Yes, Luke. To what? Treasure, to treasure something, to treasure, to value, to long for it, to want it severely, to prize it. You value it, okay? Now listen, most in your season of life, don't prize wisdom as they ought. And to be honest, most in my season of life don't prize wisdom as we should. Most in your season prize things like this. I prize independence. I want freedom. I want to be able to make my own choices. I want to be able to go places when I want to go there and do the things that I want to do. Maybe you prize acceptance by friends. I want my friends to like me. I want to be accepted. I don't want to be an outsider. Maybe you prize being able to express yourself. I want to express myself through the music I listen to and my hair and the clothes that I wear. Listen, when I was 14, I really wanted to express myself the way that I wanted to express myself. I had sweet bleached tips on my hair, super baggy corduroy pants. I used to be... She's looking at me. I used to be so cool. Right, Julie? It's a sympathy nod. I prized those things. I wanted those things. I valued those things. Some of us prize relationships. We like how we feel when somebody else likes us, and we prize those things. Or achievements. We want to be recognized, whether it's good grades. We want the approval of those around us, or athletic accomplishments, or creative successes. Maybe you prize clarity on the future. I want a career where I can get rich, and I prize the thought of having the things that I want. I can't wait till I'm adult. I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to get the devices that I want, and the vehicles that I want, and the home that I want. God says if you want to gain wisdom, prize wisdom, value wisdom, esteem wisdom, think highly of wisdom, treasure wisdom. Recognize the eternal significance. Recognize that wisdom is valuable. Solomon says wisdom will guard you. She will protect you. She'll watch over you. When you fear God and you live your life in accordance to that, when you walk in wisdom that God calls us to, when you make the most of your time, when you avoid foolishness and walk in wisdom, God says that will guard you. That will actually be good care for you. What is the lie that we oftentimes believe? My life isn't going as I want it to go, and so I'm going to sin to try to keep things the way that I want to protect the things that I love. And God says when you prize wisdom, when you treasure wisdom, she will watch over you, guard you, protect you, namely from sin, which is not only temporally destructive, but eternally destructive. Solomon uses descriptions such as wisdom exalting you or honoring you, placing on your head a garland of grace. She'll present you with a crown of beauty. Verse 7, acquire wisdom with all your acquiring. Get understanding. What does that mean? The idea here in the language of what he is saying is that whatever it takes to get wisdom, it's worth it. All right? Whatever it takes, pay the price. Whatever you've got to do to get wisdom, it's worth every cent. This would be like, who's the best basketball player in the league right now? Jerry Warford. Who? LeBron. Currently the best player. SGA? Okay. All right. Detlef Schrempf. No? Nobody? Okay. All right. Let's say John Smith is the best player in the NBA. We're just making up, okay? So we can agree on a hypothetical. John Smith, the best player in the NBA, it would be like a general manager saying, take all of my best players, all of my first-round draft picks that I can give up, all of my second-round draft picks, everything that I need to give up, it doesn't matter. It's worth it if I can get that player. That's what Solomon is saying wisdom is like. Whatever you need to give up, whatever you need to deny yourself, whatever you need to pursue, whatever you need to do to gain wisdom, go after it. Go after wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. With everything that you can give of yourself to acquire something, go after true understanding. It's a synonym for wisdom. We should exert ourselves. We should prize. We should long for. We should pursue wisdom. Prize it. Long for it. Truly prizing wisdom will actually lead to our next two points. Truly prizing wisdom will lead to requesting wisdom and pursuing wisdom. So, this is a discipline. To prize wisdom is not what comes out of our hearts naturally. You must direct your heart to agree with God about what He has said regarding wisdom. But if you prize wisdom, it will lead you down a path of seeking to attain wisdom, which leads to our next discipline. So number one was prize wisdom. And number two, wait, what do you think? What's number two? Say it. Strive or ask. Those are good words. It starts with a P. Pray for wisdom. Number two, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Turn to James. So now we're going to go far to the right in our Bible. Far to the right. James, Hebrews, James. James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. And look at this. This is truly amazing. This is awesome. James says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, and what do we know is true? All of us ultimately lack wisdom. We all need God's wisdom. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Pray, God, give me wisdom. Now, what's really compelling, what's really encouraging, which we don't have all the time to dive into this, but this is at the front end of the book of James. And what James actually says in verse 2 of chapter 1 is a command to consider trials joy. Because God uses trials in a profound way. That's a significant way to grow believers, to increase their faith, to help us trust in God, to help us depend upon God. But if you lack wisdom, and what's the relationship? Well, it's one who doesn't consider trials joy. And so, listen, is it harder to trust God when things are going good or when things are going bad? It's typically harder to trust God when things are going bad. If things are going good, I don't have any complaints. Listen, if your team were to come up to me and I said, hey, no reason at all, I'm giving you 20,000 points. How would you feel about that? Sweet! Hey, this is pretty cool. I don't need an explanation. What if I came up and I said, hey, I'm not going to give you a reason, but your team lost 20,000 points. What? I want a reason! This isn't fair! It is much harder to trust that input when your assessment is that it's not going as it should go. And that is usually our default when trials hit our life, when hardship hits your life. And listen, I know many of you today are navigating trials, and it is hard to think rightly in those moments when life gets hard. And God says, in those hardest moments, consider those joy. But if you have a hard time trusting Him, if you have a hard time trusting Him in your trials, ask for wisdom. Wisdom would say, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has good intention for me. God is using this to make me more like Jesus. He's going to refine me. He's going to give me opportunities to bless others in ways I wouldn't have if I didn't have this trial. He's growing and stretching me. These momentary light afflictions are producing for me eternal weight of glory. What's happening now is temporal, but what He's doing in my heart and through my life is eternal. That kind of wisdom is hard to get to. And if you lack it, ask. The Lord loves to give it. He loves to give it abundantly. He says, let him ask, and God who gives to all generously. I love that. He gives abundantly. He doesn't give just a little bit. He gives more than enough. Okay? It's like if you needed some water, he doesn't just give you a sip and you're like, yeah, but I'm still thirsty. Your cup continues to overflow. It's like the giant tanks outside. You can go back and back again. It doesn't run out. There's water constantly. God gives wisdom to those who ask that way abundantly and without reproach. What does that mean? He doesn't shame you for not coming to him sooner. Have you ever had a sibling where you're watching them and they're struggling and you're like, if they just asked for help, I'd be right there. And then they're struggling some more and you're just like, are they going to ask? And then finally they ask and you're like, finally, if you'd asked me sooner, it would have gone a lot easier for you. You kind of shame them for not asking sooner. God never does that. He gives generously, abundantly, without reproach. He doesn't shame you for not asking sooner. He just gives it. He loves to give it under one condition. You need to believe. God, give me wisdom. Help me agree with you. And help me believe that you will give me what I need to think rightly, to behave rightly, to honor you in this situation. So the path to wisdom comes through prizing wisdom, longing for it, and then seeking God, praying. What part does prayer play in your life today? Maybe it's a prequel to eating. And that's it. Don't stop. Pray a lot more. Whatever's going on in your life, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me insight. How can I live in a way that is honoring to you? Take out the list of verses and questions in life's various circumstances. Pray, God, give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me understanding. And then think, consider, and then look and step. And depend upon the Lord. Come to him humbly, and he will grant you wisdom. So, prize wisdom, pray for wisdom, and then thirdly, any guesses? Number three? Starts with a P. Pursue! Pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Where do we look for wisdom? Remember in our study, where is wisdom ultimately found? In the Word, yes, in the Bible. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Turn to Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm 19. All right, you guys are doing great. Didn't know we had Bible sword drills tonight. Psalm 19, verse 7. So back right next to Proverbs, Psalm 19, verse 7. This is a comforting verse for me. It says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. And then look at the next phrase. The testimony, or the word of God, or the scripture of God, the law of God, is sure, making wise the simple. I love that. If you ever feel kind of out of your depth, oh, I'm not like this person. I don't get these grades. I don't do these things. You know what God actually does? He grants wisdom, supernatural wisdom, his wisdom, to even those that are simple. Makes wise the simple, and it comes through his word. Where do you go for wisdom? When you're trying to get insight or understanding, you want to know where people typically go, they typically are drawn to seeking input or counsel from other people that they thinks the same as them. Why? Because it's affirming. And it's comfortable. And it gets me the answer. It's enabling. It makes me feel better about getting the thing that I want if I can find somebody else who's maybe in the same situation or wants the same things as me. We need to run, sprint to God's word. Pursue wisdom through scripture, through what God has revealed, through godly counselors. Who will be the best counselors for you? Those who are most familiar with God's word. And while I don't know all of the students, and I don't know all of the Grace Bible staff to the same degree, I know this. The staff in student ministries and the staff in youth ministries at Gilbert Bible Church love their Bibles. They love their Bibles, and they love you. And when you go to them for wisdom, they are not going to primarily want to tell you their opinion. They are primarily going to want and will point you to God's word. You should run to them as counselors. And for most of you, you should run to your parents even first. Maybe not all of you, but most of you. For those who are in Christ, the best source of wisdom is going to be God's word and people who love God's word, who are well established in God's word, who have lived faithfully under God's word. You will not be a wise person apart from the word of God. God's word is sure. What does that mean for it to be sure? That means it's tested. It's faithful. It's stable. You can count on it. Listen, have you ever walked across a bridge and wondered if it would hold? Maybe that's a Josh thought. Maybe that's just me. I'm wondering if this concrete's going to hold. No. Some of you may feel my pain. Have you ever walked across a bridge and you thought, is this sure? Is this stable? This is a little rickety. I'll tell you a story. One time I was in Alaska with Julie and Asher when he was one. Okay, he was 1 year old. We went for a hike. And at one point in the hike, there was a huge gorge and literally a raging river rushing under this gorge about, what do you think, 50 feet, 60 feet down? Okay, and they had a pulley system, so a cable and a little box cart that Josh knows what I'm talking about, that wasn't any bigger than this. Like two people max can fit in it. And what you had to do is send one person across while the other pulls the cable to move the cart over this huge gorge. And then when the other person got out on the other side, they'd send the cart back, and then they'd pull the pulley system. And it's like shaking, rickety. It's just a bar around you. And so we're getting on this. Our friends are with us, and they're helping lead us apart. It did not feel sure. It wasn't sure to me. But guess what? Asher made it. And so did Julie and I. I know. That's good. We're thankful for that. We made it across. It was not sure. God's word, it is tested. It is approved. It is the most stable thing you could ever stand on. There is nothing in this world that you could build your life upon more sure, more stable, more dependable than God's word. It is sure. It is the source of wisdom. Why? Because it's God's word. The supremely wise one, Yahweh, the eternally existing God, the one who spoke and created the world and the universe, the one who sustains all things, who has a perfect sovereign plan, is bringing it to pass perfectly. That one gave us his word, his insight, his truth. We have access to it. We can know it. We can understand it. We can read it. This is why the discipline of shepherding your heart and opening up your Bible regularly is so critically important and so immensely valuable. And whether or not you just graduated fifth grade and are moving into sixth grade, what you need most in your life right now is God's word. And if you are a senior and you just graduated and you're trying to figure out what life holds ahead and your life has never been more busy with bigger decisions, more consequential things before you in your life, what you need most right now is God's word. In life's greatest joys, you look back at God's word, you see his faithfulness, and you worship. And in life's hardest, lowest, most difficult, most painful, most agonizing valleys, you look to God's word and you see God's faithfulness and you see God's wisdom, and it is life for you and stability for you. God's word is the means through his gospel of bringing those who don't believe into salvation. If you don't know Jesus tonight in a personal, relational way where you have forsaken yourself and turned to him in faith and repentance, trusting in Jesus' work on the cross alone to pay for your sins, to take the wrath that your sins deserve, what you need most is the truth of the gospel from Scripture. You need to direct your heart there. And if you love Jesus more than anything else in your life, out of love for Jesus, you need to discipline your life, to look to God's word, to look to his wisdom, to prize her, to love wisdom. If you do that, your walk will be pleasing to the Lord. If you do that, you will make the most of this time that the Lord has given you. If you try any other means or path, reject God's wisdom, turn away from God's help, and turn away from God's word, you will never make the most of this time. You will squander it. You will waste it. What are you going to do? Don't wait. You don't know what the next 5 minutes hold, much less the next 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 years. It is too easy to think, I want what I want now. Someday I'll make that decision. We are not the dictators of how long we have in this life. The Lord is. The hourglass is running. Make the most. What does wisdom call for you tonight? And that's what you're going to have an opportunity to discuss in your groups. Let's pray together. We'll sing, and then you will split into groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the truth of a foolish message to the world that holds eternal wisdom and insight and understanding that grants eternal life. Lord, we cannot attain these things on our own. We need your help. We need your work in our heart. We need your work in our heart to enter into salvation. We need your work in our lives as we live in light of our salvation. And so, Lord, we pray now for your help. We pray for conviction. We pray for discipline. We pray for understanding and insight that we would actually believe the truth that you and obedience to you and holiness of life is so much better both now and most definitely into all of eternity. Help us to believe these things. Help to look to you in these things. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.